Let's go. I want you to hear from Elijah Haven, the man who actually did this interview with Elijah over the weekend, will be joining us coming up at 6:30. And man, I don't think I have ever heard of a high school sophomore going into his junior season. I don't think I've ever heard a kid be this polished.
All right, so obviously you've accomplished quite a bit as a quarterback in your career so far here. What are some things you're working on this offseason? Is it technique, fundamentals? Is it your scheme? Like, what's your main point of focus this offseason?
Definitely fundamentals, just sticking with that and technique. There's always, you know, everything I can get better at, but those are the two main focuses I've been having this summer, just working on my technique, ways I can get the ball out faster, more efficient, and more accurate.
Are you at physically where you want to be, like with your weight and all that good stuff, speed?
I mean, pretty much. Like I said, there's always areas I can get better in, but right now I'm about 220 pounds, so, physically I feel pretty good and just looking to build on the way I have this summer.
Is that what coaches are telling you should be at to go into college, 220?
Yeah, that's about
okay.
They want me at.
Gotcha. So you're at LSU today. Have you had a chance to talk to any of the LSU coaches today?
Yes, sir. Chopped it up with Coach Sloan. That's my guy. He's been the main one recruiting me. We have a great relationship, so it's awesome to see him out here.
Do you feel like LSU's given you the love throughout your entire recruiting process?
Oh, definitely. LSU's been so welcoming to not only me, but to my family. And I've always appreciated them. And, it's just a great school with great coaches and a school I have a great relationship with.
And if you want to hear the full interview, go to tigerbait.com. So Preston Guy, who did the interview, will join us. And he was able to watch Elijah Haven in the 7-on-7 portion of the camps over this weekend. Actually, it just was a 7-on-7 tournament. Also, Ahmad Hudson, the basketball sports star from Ruston, also participated. Also, it is important to note that Elijah Haven loves basketball as well. I don't think he'll be a two-sport athlete. Ahmad Hudson wants to be a two-sport athlete. So, a few things. Just so we're on the same page here, Elijah is a 2027 recruit, as is Ahmad Hudson. They are both five-star recruits. Elijah Haven is as high of a five-star recruit you're going to find. He is the number one rated quarterback. He does play in LSU's backyard, Dunham High School. That's where Derek Stingley played his high school football, and the kid is a freak. 6'5", 220 pounds, okay? So, that means he's Josh Allen, just not as thick, right? He's built like Anthony Richardson right now, a high school sophomore at the quarterback position. So, I think it's fair to say at this point, Elijah Haven is the most athletic in-state quarterback prospect since Ryan Perlew. And he is the highest rated in-state quarterback since Ryan Perlew. Now, Ryan Perlew, according to my data, is still the most prolific high school quarterback that LSU has ever brought in, statistically. You have to argue between him and Joe Burrow as far as your high school stats are concerned. Elijah Haven's high school stats, as once again a sophomore, was pretty good. It was very good. Led them to the state championship game this year. I will say this, though. You have to go to Patreon to see this for yourself. He is a part of what should be the most historic crop of 2027 quarterback targets in the history of LSU football. There are four top 100 quarterback prospects that have heavy LSU ties. Three because they're in the state of Louisiana, and one because he is the brother of the current starter at LSU, that being Colton Nussmeier. He's the second highest rated quarterback prospect. Like Hudson, he is a pretty tall guy, Nuss is around at 6'3 mark. And then, of course, you have Peyton Houston out of Evangel, who I personally am really high on. So if you want to see which one of those four I am the highest on, please go sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/LSU football. That was actually the deep dive we did a month ago. I just finished my Cade Klubnik deep dive. Go watch it for yourself, patreon.com/LSU football. Okay. So we said to Tony Blanche wants to talk some Kyle Parker. We'll do that today. Alexander Taylor, this will be the focus of tomorrow's show. On Twitter, I said, give me your hottest LSU football take for next year. Whoever you are right now, tomorrow on this show, I will answer every single hot take. It does not matter how hot of a take it is. You can comment below. You could send me a message on Twitter or Instagram. It could be as positive or negative as you want it to be. I got some outright delusional positive ones today, including this team will be as good as 2019 LSU. I was shocked how many times that was actually legitimately sent to me today. And I also got some negative ones. Brian Kelly's going to go 7-5. So I will address all of them tomorrow. Now, this is the biggest thing that I want to get to today. As far as the 7-on-7 that happened over the weekend, and as far as LSU football as a whole, we're in a really good spot right now as LSU football fans. We really are. And it seems like we shouldn't be. But hear me out. This schedule is harder than last year's schedule. I don't think that is debatable. But this roster is better than last year's roster. Our NIL structure is a lot better than what it was a year ago. So roughly a year ago around this time, we were in the middle of the Dominic Williams saga, and I did a bunch of shows basically relaying the information that I got from credible sources that our NIL was a bit of a jumbled mess. Now we have alignment in that area. Now we have an idea of what the revenue share is going to look like. With Deloitte looking over NIL deals, we're starting to have ideas of what all of that is looking like. Now, is it true that LSU is losing a few key staffers behind the scenes? Yes. They lost Jordan Arsement, who was very pivotal behind the scenes in terms of being a liaison with players and parents and all of it. He is a very affable guy. When you listen to him talk, he sounds like Louisiana. So he gets poached by Athletes First in the NIL space. Very talented guy. Never met him before. Never talked to him before, but he is a very talented guy. And I will say via sources, there's going to be more thinning of the herd with those types of personnel department pieces, if you will. Not anything too big, but understand that every year this happens, and probably even more so this year, you are starting to see quite a few staffers make moves from one place to another. And the reason for that is nobody really knows what these staffs are going to look like moving forward. Nobody really does. I mean, there's word out there that everybody wants their football staffs to look more like an NFL staff. You have really seen that at Oklahoma in particular, where they legit are building an NFL front office. We see what North Carolina's done, bringing in NFL people, obviously led by Bill Belichick. But, you know, LSU's kind of doing the same thing there. In fact, you know, you go back to 2019 LSU, there's quite a few people saying that it felt like an NFL team, how businesslike everybody was going into each and every week. But now it feels like quite a few college teams have front offices. LSU was the first to have an official general manager. So it's going to be absolutely insane moving forward. Now, as far as content for the rest of the week, you guys know I am always direct and open with each and every one of you about my levels of expertise. I am very familiar with the Arkansas baseball team. I'm very familiar, obviously, with LSU baseball. I'm not an expert in either one of them, okay? So, as someone who has interviewed Dave Van Horn before in my prior job, I'm really looking forward to Saturday night. Dave's a nice guy. He's one of the best coaches of all time. And in the college baseball coaching community, there isn't anybody that most people are rooting for more, maybe outside of the Murray State miracle story where their head coach literally mows their grass. But the truth is, everybody's cheering for Arkansas and Dave Van Horn. Everybody. Even though they're the 3 seed and they're the favorite to win the whole thing, everybody in college baseball media, everybody that works in college baseball wants the good guy Dave Van Horn to win it all. And you know who one of Dave Van Horn's biggest fans actually is? It's Jay Johnson. Seriously. I have never heard a baseball coach talk so glowingly about another baseball coach as Jay Johnson did before they played Arkansas and Dave Van Horn earlier this year. I do feel on a year-to-year basis, over the last decade plus, he's been the best coach in the SEC. Obviously, I don't think that now. I think Jay and Tony are better than him now. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. But, you know, Dave's one of the best coaches ever in SEC in any sport. But he doesn't have the natty. So everybody's cheering for him. I think LSU's going to win on Saturday. All the pressure's on Arkansas. All the pressure's on Arkansas. Okay? So we'll see what happens. I take Cade Anderson any day of the week. And Arkansas's got Newt and all those great pitchers, and they got the player of the year. But I think we'll be fine, in my very unprofessional college baseball opinion. But we will dive deeper into that game on Thursday. I don't know. It's kind of weird because on Saturday, I've actually gotten 3 offers. I posted this earlier today. I want to go to an LSU Arkansas watch party. So a bar, one of my favorite bars in Baton Rouge, they're doing a big thing. My friends at the Revelry, for my old school BR folks, where Serrano's used to be, next to Raul's and next to the Varsity and Chimes, they're doing a thing Saturday at 6. I'm thinking about going to Baton Rouge. Then I got an invite to go to Little Rock, Arkansas. An invite to go to Fayetteville, Arkansas. And then I got an invite to go to Omaha. Interesting. So I don't know. I kind of want to go. I kind of want to be the visitor. Because I couldn't imagine how much fun the content would be if I go to Fayetteville, decked out in purple and gold. And Arkansas fans just dying for an Omaha victory. And Arkansas got it bad. Not only did they get LSU in the College World Series in the first game, knowing that we beat them twice en route to winning it all in 2009, they also got Oregon State, who was the infamous team that they were playing in the championship series in 2018 that they choked against. All right, so we'll see. Now, to Chance's point, yes, everyone in the SEC in particular, but come on. Dave Van Horn might be the best college coach in any sport that's not won the actual natty yet. So we'll see what happens. You can argue Rick Barnes. I mean, there's a lot of different coaches you can argue with that. Brian Kelly, you can argue, but we'll see what happens. Okay. Now, as is the case normally when I venture off into baseball, people want to get me back into football. I'm down to do it. All right. One final thing, and I did not think I would go in this direction. Did not think. But I need your help because I know we have some WNBA heads. Now watch. I need to know why Angel Reese is struggling. I don't watch the games. I'll be honest. I do not watch the games. What the heck is happening? Why is her efficiency falling off a cliff? Somebody tell me. I say that because I want this to get turned around. I'm tired of all these people posting fake AI memes about Angel Reese. And one more thing. Shout out to Flage. Going to the BET Awards last night. Angel Reese winning BET Sportswoman of the Year for three consecutive seasons. Shout out to you, Angel. But I really do need my WNBA experts to comment down below. Why? What has happened? I mean, I got my alert on my phone the other day. They were playing the Fever without their coach, without Caitlin Clark. They get beat by 30. Come on. We got to get this fixed. I can't have Angel out there struggling like this. All right. I did find what people clipped somewhat out of context what Flage said about Angel. I think that was just kind of blown out of proportion. It was true that there was tension. Anyone that remembers that in their final season together, you know the story there. But and I don't think there's disdain towards either one of them. Okay, but I need Angel to turn it around. I really 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 do. Okay, I will say though, one thing. Why I wanted her to come back to LSU for that final season is because of this, right? I do think in the WNBA, Angel is just so athletic. She's going to out-hustle and get all those put-back rebounds and all of it. But I just think in the modern game of basketball at any level, if you can't shoot, it is so hard to be a star. It is really, really, really hard. You know, like, I watch a good bit of basketball. How many of these NBA guys can't shoot? I mean, it used to be when you would watch 90s to 2000s NBA, you can get away with a few players on the floor not being able to have a decent outside shot. But spacing matters so much, more so in the men's game than in the women's, but still, there you go. I need Angel to play better, though. I do. It's hurting me. So there you go. We'll get Matthew Bruin on. I know he watches quite a bit. So there we go. You know, as far as the hot takes, there is one that I wanted to address. And I feel, you know, because normally when I do this topic, you guys send me your number one bold prediction for 2025. I normally like to sleep on it and just do an entire episode. And I've tried to respond as many as I could on Twitter today. The one thing that I think we need to be a little bit more cautious about are the wide receivers when it comes to LSU. All right. And what I mean by that is I do think for a wide receiver to get over 1,000 yards receiving, two things need to happen for that to happen. The first thing is you need your offense to be great. Our offense last year was fine. All right, we're about 7th in yards per play. But Garrett did throw for a lot of yards, okay? The problem, though, is every year there are, on average, about 2.5 to 3 wide receivers that actually get over 1,000 yards. So one of the most common responses I got today was Chris Hilton, 1,200 yards. Aaron Anderson wins a Biletnikoff. Nick Anderson, 1,000 yards. Berrien Brown, 1,000 yards. Let's actually go back to last year, who many consider to be the best offense in the SEC was Texas, all right? Texas did not have a wide receiver go over 1,000 yards, including Matthew Golden, who went in the first round of last year's NFL draft. All right, so why didn't Matthew Golden get 1,000 yards? Well, he was very good, but the problem was Texas had a wide range of wide receivers. They had Ryan Wingo, who's a true freshman sensation. They had Gunnar Helm at tight end. They had Jonte Cook, who quit the team midway through the season. They had Isaiah Bond, who was very on and off hit or miss as a player. Then they threw to the running backs out of the backfield quite a bit. Jaden Blue, one of the best receiving backs you'll ever see in the SEC. And then they had shaky quarterback play on top of it. You don't have to worry about that, especially from the throwing aspect with Garrett Nussmeier. But for a receiver to have over 1,000 yards in the SEC, it is hard. There were 16 teams in the SEC last year as well. Only two had 1,000-yard receivers, okay? So, you know, it's not a disappointment that you don't have a 1,000-yard season. What is interesting, though, is there was a lot of you that said that LSU will have two 1,000-yard receivers. But that's what really fascinates me when I decided to look at the 1,000-yard receiving mark. The last two 1,000-yard receivers was who? Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. And then before that, you had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And then Kayshon mixed in there and so on and so on. Okay. Now, why is that relevant? Well, they were 1,000-yard receivers on the same offense. And that was actually something I saw quite common. Alabama had two receivers over 1,000 yards. And a few other teams had that as well. So, what does that mean? That means wide receiver rotations were tighter. So not only do you need to have a good offense, for you to get over 1,000 yards, you've got to be on the field. So this is going to be the difficult decision for Cortez Hankton. It is easy as a coach, even with Kyren Lacy and Jack Besh and all the talented receivers you had on the bench, it's easy to decide, hey, the receivers we're going to play the most, Malik, BTJ, and Kayshon. Pretty easy decision. But where it gets hard is when it's a little bit more ambiguous. Now, in my personal opinion, I prefer wide receiver rotations to be tighter. I just don't think LSU is going to do that this next year, though. I just don't. Unless Chris Hilton and Aaron Anderson separate. Or Berrien Brown and Aaron Anderson separate. Or Berrien Brown and Chris Hilton separate. No matter what, I would have to say the most, I guess you could say, safe wide receiver on this team right now is Aaron Anderson. Because as a slot wide receiver, he is such a better slot weapon than everybody else on the team. Okay? So, the more I think about it, the more I am higher on Aaron Anderson going into next year. And look, I get a lot of bold predictions right. One wrong one that I had last year was I did not project Aaron Anderson to have the season that he had. And it was indeed very, very, very good. It was very good. In fact, borderline spectacular to the point where quite a few of you said today, Aaron Anderson is going to win the Biletnikoff this year, which is tough. It's tough. Okay. And then the next thing would be, you know, I am such a big believer. And this is just me, okay? But if you are a New Orleans Saints fan, and a lot of you are, who are the best receivers during the Drew Brees era? Well, there's quite a few you could point to. Jimmy Graham, you can make a case. Probably it's Marcus Colston. But then you also had Devery Henderson, mix in some Robert Meacham, mix in some Lance Moore. But you cannot talk about the Drew Brees era unless you talk about the receiving running backs out of the backfield. They were so good last year for LSU when we actually targeted Caden Durham out of the backfield. And if you take a look at a lot of the big Saints game, in particular, the Super Bowl, what was it? The Super Bowl was mostly Drew Brees checking down to Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush. Drew Brees throwing to Alvin Kamara later in his career. So for me, I look at the best offenses in college football last season, the ones that had pocket quarterbacks. The one I keep going back to is Texas. What did Texas do better than basically anybody in all of college football, and maybe ever, I've ever seen in college football? They threw to the running backs out of the backfield. It's so hard to stop. And Caden Durham seemed very comfortable in that role. All right, South Alabama game, broke it open with some receptions out of the backfield. Texas A&M game, a game where we were very clunky but somewhat productive offensively. What happened? Texas A&M was ready for the play that we kind of dumped off to Caden Durham. He broke a tackle and took it for a big game. So for me, I do think throwing to the running backs out of the backfield will be a bigger part of LSU's offense this next year. And Alexander brings up something here. Sark says he got that from 2019 LSU. Well, that makes sense because Steve Sarkisian was the offensive coordinator for Alabama. Why did LSU beat Alabama in that game? It was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was the reason. Okay. And it wasn't just dump-offs and check-downs. It was designed deeper patterns mixed in there as well. Well, one, which was the running back flood concept after the Patrick Queen interception, you can make a case that's top five LSU play calls of all time. It really is up there. Pegasus says Michael Thomas was the best wide receiver with Drew Brees. You're right. You're right. At his peak. Absolutely. Pierre Thomas, so underrated. Shout out to Flighting Illini. LA Mom says she posted a link in the Discord about Caden Durham. Okay, I'm down. Go look at it real quick. Good stuff. Let's see. Alexander says, I think Trade S. Green has twice the amount of receptions as Bauer Sharp. I don't think that's true. You know, Sharp caught 40 balls last year. He led Texas in receptions. You'd have to guess he catches 20 to 25. So that would put Trade S. at about 40 to 45 receptions. I guess I could see that. I don't think that's the hottest take. But tomorrow, in particular, bring your hottest football takes. I don't care if it's, I think Brian Kelly is a terrible football coach. I don't care if you say that. I welcome all opinions, positive or negative. Let's go to Bullfrog. Harlan Berry's going to open this offense up if they start passing the running backs. Yeah, you know, what's interesting to me, and once again, this is just based on what I saw in 7-on-7. There is a world where Harlan Berry is a very elite slot wide receiver. Based on what I saw in those Bryce Underwood 7-on-7 clips, he was electric. Just catching the football in general. Very natural for him. But he is a running back, and that's where he should play. Man, I just love how much energy Christopher brings in the chat. Pegasus says, who is the fastest player on the team? Jelani Watkins. But outside of him, it's probably Chris Hilton or Barrion Brown. But nobody is beating Jelani Watkins in a race. Nobody. I know Chris Hilton would strongly disagree with that, but come on. I mean, I think it'd be a little bit disrespectful to Jelani to not say he's the fastest on the team when he's legitimately winning real track and field races if we're talking about straight line speed. Blanche says he is high on Harlan Berry. There you go.
I am too.
Let's take a few more before we get to our guest. He should be joining us pretty soon. Chronic 9, good to see you. Let me go back to Blanche. He asked about Kyle Parker at the beginning. Are we sleeping on him a little bit? Okay, so let's have a conversation here about Kyle. What are some things that are in his favor? Well, he was young for the class. In high school, he caught 23 passes in a single game, which is still ridiculous to me. We weren't really an explosive offense. He did indeed catch one of the more explosive touchdown passing plays that we hit last year. And overall, we hit explosive plays. But in terms of higher ADOT throws, there was a lot to be desired. So what does that mean? Well, Kyle Parker gets hurt, out for the season. He got hurt early in the USC game because he was filling in for a hurt Chris Hilton. Then he's out for the season for an injury later in the year. Okay. Kyle Parker had some drop issues last year, even with the injury and battling through that. After the catch, not quite a physically imposing player, but in terms of skill, he's got a lot of it. Once again, physically, he's just not as imposing of a wide receiver as some of the other players on this team. But I keep going back to the age thing because he was younger for the class, and those guys tend to take a little bit longer to develop. Now, someone else that was younger for the class is Malik Nabers. Malik is a freak. There's just not many of those guys walking on the planet. That's why what he did at LSU was even more impressive with no senior year of high school football to work with either. So, there you go. Do I think Caden Durham beats Chris Hilton in a 100-meter? I do. You're probably right about that. So, that would be 10-2-9 versus Chris Hilton's best time. Yeah, I would think Caden Durham. So, the order would probably be Jelani Watkins and then Caden Durham and then either Chris Hilton or Berrion Brown. That's probably it. Let's see. Try and get Preston on here. All right. Let's go to Chance. He says Texas played one good team last season and lost to them twice. Here's my thing with that. All right. So today for the SEC channel, I'm going through and doing a film study basically on every starting quarterback. And I went back to watch Bo Prabula or Bulla, whatever his name is, for Penn State. And boy, he's talented. He is talented. He just hadn't had his chance to start. So Missouri scouts him out, buys him out of his Penn State deal, basically. So he quits the team in the middle of the playoff run and is like, okay, I'm going to Missouri. So I bring that up because college football, with these conferences being so big now, there's such a huge advantage for your schedule in your own conference, right? Which is why I keep hammering home a very simple point that when the SEC and the Big Ten argue over 8 versus 9 conference games, I don't think that matters as much as the issue with the imbalance in your own conference based on who you play on any given year. It wasn't the fact that Indiana played a soft schedule. When on paper before the season, it was hard to see if Indiana had a soft schedule or not. Why? Well, Indiana had Michigan and Washington on their schedule. The year before, both those teams played for the Natty. So it is a big freaking deal, huge deal, who you actually play in your own conference. So why do I bring that up? Texas got the easiest draw in the SEC last year. Outside of Missouri, who had my easiest schedule, LSU had my second easiest schedule going into the season. That changed, especially when South Carolina was way better than anyone expected. But Texas had the third easiest schedule and ended up being the easiest schedule. Who ended up having the second easiest schedule? To me, it was Tennessee. Both those teams made the playoff. Love to see it. AKA, hate to see it. All right, coming up next, a man who actually watched Elijah Haven throw passes and spoke to Brian Kelly for a little bit over the weekend. We'll talk to him. One of the most powerful members in all of LSU media.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. PGuy77 is where you can follow him on Twitter. He is one of the few LSU writers I have, like, actually Twitter alerts signed up. So every time you tweet,
no,
I get a notification every single time.
You poor bastard,
dude. You're I'm addicted to the tweet master, the Jaden Daniels ownership over the Bo Nix hive will go down in infamy. But before we get to that, you're at the 7-on-7 camps over the weekend. What was your big takeaway?
Well, you know, most of my time was either spent talking to the coaches or with Peyton Houston out of Evangel or Elijah Haven out of Dunham. I mean, those are two absolutely stud quarterbacks. So it was eye-opening for a number of reasons. Number one, you know, I got to hear a little bit from the coaches. That was, you know, it was more like, you know, it's very rare as media that you get a true one-on-one, just us talking. That was eye-opening. But what was more opening is just how talented those two darn quarterbacks are, and really what a dilemma LSU finds itself in with its quarterback spot. It's one of the more interesting dilemmas that I can remember covering LSU recruiting, and between following it and covering it, I've probably been following it for 20 years, and I do not remember a dilemma that they've found themselves in quite like this one, particularly if Bo Bentley doesn't commit. what is the contingency plan? And I don't know what that is. So we can go more into that drama if you want, or if you want to just get to it organically.
No. Keep going.
Dive in. All right. Let's go deep in, because essentially we all know what happened in 2025. You missed on Bryce Underwood. I think everybody kind of understands what the gist of that circumstance was, and you miss on your quarterback, right? So you go and get Michael Van Buren, but you sign no high school kid. Here you are 2026, and there's not exactly an all-star crew of kids very interested in LSU for 2026. It's just sometimes the way the die rolls sometimes, right? So, you got Bo Bentley there, who is interested, but of course Oklahoma is the other school to beat there. And, in terms of QBU, it's really LSU and Oklahoma last 10 years. So it's not exactly an easy competition to win. So there's no guarantee that Bo Bentley comes to LSU. And then 2026, if it's not him, I frankly don't know who next LSU guy is. Do you go 2 years without signing a quarterback? That seems unheard of, but we are in an era where you can supplement through the portal. Or in 2027, you've got Peyton Houston, who is undersized, but this was very interesting to me. Elijah Haven, very good player. Back-to-back state championships he's played in. He's played in Final Fours in basketball. Undisputed winner, five-star quarterback, all everything you want, size, skill. Peyton Houston's the better high school quarterback. He is the better high school quarterback. Now, I'm not projecting that onto the next level, which is a lot of what you're doing with these star ratings, because there are some size issues with Pop Houston. He goes by Pop. But in terms of watching them side by side, I mean, Pop's a stud out there, man. Very accurate and reads the field very well. And I think that was just so interesting to see the guy who, is recruited, is probably in national. I haven't looked exactly at the ratings to see exactly how far apart they are, but I believe Pop Houston's a bit down from where Elijah Haven ranks in the recruiting trails. But it's just crazy to see in the 7-on-7 tournament, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because and both played well. I don't want to discourage and say that Elijah Haven played poorly, because he didn't. He played pretty well too. And you can see we got all the film coming on TigerBait.com. I got 2 games each of those guys. But that was just particularly eye-opening. Now let me throw another wild card out there. There's a kid by the name of Colton Nussmeier in 2027. He's a lefty out of Texas. And, I think that last name probably sounds familiar to all your listeners here. So you got 2 kids from Louisiana and you got Nussmeier for 27, and then you didn't really have much going in 2026. My eye has been, and I've asked all 3 guys early and often about this, is one of them going to reclassify? But I don't know what the coaches are going to do, especially Bo Bentley. Does it come in? Do you take multiple in 27? Do you just hold off and say, Michael Van Buren, hold the rope and we'll get you help next year? Do you move, try to get one of those guys to reclassify? I don't know, but there's a lot of talent, and all 3 guys probably would love to be LSU Tigers.
Yeah, and then you have Colin Hurley in that mix as well, who has really picked up some steam since his injury. I'll be honest, I misspoke a little bit earlier, and I thought you texted me and said Ahmad Hudson was also there.
It might have been autocorrect, actually.
Okay, yeah,
very similar.
Neither way, I did. Think that's why when I texted you that weird thing earlier, and you're like, huh? I was confused. But yes, I will say this, and I did a Patreon deep dive on this as well. Peyton Houston is one of the best Louisiana high school football players I have ever watched. Any position. And like literally, I was blown away at how good this guy is as a high school sophomore. Yeah. For a lot of the same reasons you just said. And the way I've explained this, once again, you were there, right? But just from watching and talking to people that I do trust, Elijah Haven is a Josh Allen, right? if you hit on him, that gives you the absolute highest ceiling if everything were to work itself out. But I could see a world where Peyton Houston is Baker Mayfield, right? Where the dude just is very, very good at football. Like, yeah. like he can move. He could throw to all different areas of the field. Just unfreaking believably tenacious and competitive. That's how I see the two. And I agree with you, man. Like, and obviously Elijah Haven is the better prospect, the basketball background, all that stuff. But man, I am glad you're confirming what I saw is that Peyton Houston is special at the game of football.
Yeah, he is. And he's a good leader, too, by the way. A lot of these guys really look and respect him as well. So, but it's a tough choice to pick between the two. But I think you pretty much nailed it on the comparisons there, like Baker Mayfield and similar mobility to Baker Mayfield. People sleep on Baker can move, but Peyton Houston also, he's strong, okay, and he's not light. And he wants to add 10 more pounds. I talked to him about that. And, you know, physically, he's not tiny as a player. He's
stocky.
5'10", 5'11", based on who you ask. He's going to tell you 5'11". But he doesn't look little. There's just certain guys who don't have the height, but they play taller, if that makes sense. And it's kind of what we're seeing there. Now, I would love to see Peyton Houston. I would love to see both of them in an LSU Tiger uniform and let them decide on the field. Maybe you get a situation like that simply because it's not that big of a deal anymore. If you go to a school and you don't win your quarterback battle, just transfer out after a year, there's no consequence. But I'll tell you what, there's very few quarterbacks, particularly Elijah Haven, when you're in that five-star tier, almost none of them want to go to a school with another quarterback in that class. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. It was not Max. It would have been Nussmeier who told me this as a recruit. He said, if LSU takes another quarterback, I'm obviously not going there. I think I was talking to him about Caleb Williams is who I was talking about, which probably would have been smart. If Caleb Williams had come, that probably would have been smart for Nussmeier not to go to LSU.
Yeah, but,
I guess he ended up sitting behind a Heisman winner anyways. So, just one of those things. Most top quarterbacks, even guys who bring on the challenge and grind of it all, they don't want to sign with another quarterback. They want to be the quarterback in your class.
Dylan, and one more story to go along with that. We just went through this with Dylan Raiola and Ryan Puglisi, both committed to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And then at the last second, obviously there's more than just Raiola not wanting to go because Puglisi was also there. It's that Nebraska really up things beforehand. But you're right. You know, quarterbacks don't want to share classifications. I will share this, and this is just my own personal data and viewpoints. Okay. And Preston, you're like me. You're a nerd. You love high school football. You're the whole thing. Okay. Is that okay? I called you a nerd because I'm
absolutely. Oh, I'm a huge nerd. Yeah. Okay. That's a very apt description.
So based on my own research of Peyton Houston, all right, and how high I am on this kid. So last year he had a game where he put up 900 yards of offense. One human being.
That's okay. Stupid.
All right. I had to verify this. And, yeah, there was plenty of people that said it happened. So 800 plus passing yards, you add in the rushing yards he had in that game, 900 yards, okay? You know, Preston, that you have to take that out because that number can skew your numbers, all right? So I took that out. Still ran the numbers, and based on every single senior high school quarterback stats that has ever gone to LSU in the modern era, Peyton Houston still clears everybody.
That's bonkers, man.
Still clears everybody. And the only quarterback that had better high school stats than Houston was Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
As a senior. Okay. The only one, and this was Houston as a sophomore. Now, once again, that's absolutely insane. Jaden Daniels in high school was absolutely bonkers. All right. I still contend Ryan Perley is the best.
Let me ask this. Did you see on the list where was Jarrett Lee and Hayden Reddick? That would have been my guess.
Okay, they're kind of middle of the – I'll send you the numbers.
They're middle of the pack? Those dudes threw 40 touchdowns each?
Yeah, and Joe Burrow threw 60.
Well, and, yeah, he's 65 at Athens High School, yeah.
Right.
That's right.
So it was Ryan Perlew was like by far number one.
Statistically speaking, yeah.
Yeah, from his senior high school stats, yeah. Rushing and all of it. It was him and Joe, and I think Miles Brennan was up there as well.
Hey, but I got one that tops him. Juwan Johnson.
Oh, well, yeah, I did not. Yeah, I got to go through. I got to actually, to be fair to Juwan, I do need to include that. But and once again, that's like me combing through like old LSU profiles and newspaper clippings. I could be totally wrong on that. Feel free, anyone, to correct me.
Yeah.
A major point for doing that, though, is Payne Houston did this as a high school freaking sophomore. Okay. So I do think Elijah Haven is worth the hype. And I do think it's crazy for us to be spending so much time on 2027 quarterbacks, knowing that 60% of starters are transfers and all of it. But I say this because it's not just about the star rating in this instance, right? Payne Houston can flat out play. Let's go to a super chat here. Is there any 2026 recruiting news? They want the latest on Tristan Keys, the five-star receiver who's committed, and Lamar Brown, the U-High five-star athlete, OLDL.
Yeah. Both good questions. Yeah. So let me touch on Tristan because Hattiesburg was at, that's his high school, was at the 7-on-7 camp, but Tristan Keys was not there. And very notably, there's an interesting situation with Tristan Keys where he just signed a $500,000 NIL deal with Adidas. Now, I don't know if you're too familiar with LSU's athletic endorsements, but LSU is a Nike school. And I don't know if you remember this before the days of NIL when, you know, things were a little shadier in terms of this recruiting, but a lot of times these Adidas high school athletes, LSU would have trouble getting them because there was just connections that pushed them to Adidas schools, right? Like Keaton Thompson, I believe his name was, Mississippi State guy. LSU never could get in on him because there was just something there. So anyways, that used to be a thing I don't know about anymore. But from conversations that I've had from people I trust quite a bit, I'm not going to give you any more context on who they are, but I'll just tell you people in the know, people, decision makers, okay, they're not worried currently about Tristan Keys. And by the way, he is set to make a visit to LSU in about 10 days. That's what we're hearing. So he will be back at LSU, but, I mean, everybody's just whining and dining him right now and got lots of money. The other thing I'm hearing is it depends on the terms of this Adidas deal, which I've not been able to grab. If it's a one-year deal while he's in high school, then great. There's nothing that's hurt. But if it goes into his college years, you would have trouble imagining that Adidas would want to give money to this kid just for him to be wearing Nike every Saturday. Get what I mean? So there's a lot of complicated implications there. So who you got to worry about now, you got to think about who the Adidas schools are. You know, is it Texas A&M? Is it Mississippi State, the hometown team, which – you can laugh all you want, but, I mean, this is the world you live in nowadays where you have to follow the money with this kind of stuff. So I can tell you this, LSU will do everything within its power to get Tristan Keys. They really want him. And I'm going to tell you this also. He's as good as Bill when it comes to his ranking. I mean, he's, I think, number three player in the country. He's all of that. So you're never going to hear a Preston guy coming out here and saying, oh, well, the kid wasn't that good anyways. Nope. I told you Bryce Underwood, he was the real deal, as good as advertised, one of the best quarterback prospects in the last few years, certainly would be among the top all time and certainly in recent recruiting history. And I'll tell you, you know, it's true after he decommitted as well. And Michigan got a really good one, and they better because they paid $20 million for him. So, anyways, same deal with Tristan Keys. Very good. Lamar Brown is a kid who LSU has been on since, I mean, basically, you know, basically since he hit puberty, right? Like, just a kid, 14 years old, had him on their radar, very good. He wants to play both offensive and defensive line in college, right? So that means relationship with two coaches now is going to be vital, and whether they let him do it. And you best believe that Heisman campaign this year really, really put a just put fuel to that fire. He wants to play both ways. He wants to be special. So about what school lets him do it and what coaches he feels most comfortable with both sides of the ball. One day he's all LSU. The next day he's very public about his disdain. But I think that's part of recruiting is it's very easy to not feel the love. I mean, you can go 3 days and, oh, man, Ohio State hit me up with all this and LSU hadn't talked to me in 2 days, man. You know what I mean? Like, it just is a fickle thing. My gut tells me, though, LSU will win Lamar Brown. I think that they've got good coaches on both sides of the ball there. I think that it's the hometown team, and I think ultimately, whether he's willing to admit it and just reading through the grapevine, he hasn't told me this, but I do think LSU is the hometown dream school for him. I think that that's what he wants to do. And, of course, Brad Davis just put four linemen in the NFL draft, including the number 4 overall. Yeah. So you best believe that weighs heavily for him. So, yeah, I don't want to say – it's guaranteed, but my gut still tells me that LSU takes care of business when it comes to Lamar Brown.
Yeah, and you can very much critique Brad Davis's actual offensive line coaching, but you can't critique his recruiting. I know the Emmanuel kid is a very
Nacho.
Yes,
I have more than a good feeling about that one.
Good, and so yeah, I mean Brad Davis has been amazing, so I feel pretty good about him. You know, it is interesting. So I haven't told you this yet, but a few weeks ago I got, you know, the Tristan Keys, like Adidas news that was going to happen. And I would be on the lookout for Miami.
Yes.
And another thing is the last Adidas athlete to sign with LSU is Haley Van Lith. I remember her being on an Adidas billboard when she announced that she was going to LSU. So it is doable.
By the way, Adidas school again, by the way, Miami is an Adidas school.
Yes. So I that's what I heard, obviously, but I'm not.
He was taking an OV there last week. So, I mean, right. Yes, that definitely checks out. Or I guess it was 2 weeks ago now.
I want to get your take on current LSU football. And tomorrow's show will be centered around your hottest 2025 LSU take. Now, that is a lie for me to put on you like this in the show. But you think deeply about LSU football. That's what makes you special. You have 20,000 Twitter followers. What is something that you feel is a little under the radar going into next year as far as concerns or things that you might be high on in involving LSU?
Yeah. I would say that the fact that LSU is really not showing its hand right now is something that is very, very interesting. What do I mean by that? Carter, I don't know if you saw who LSU brought in the portal, particularly with offensive line and who they brought in the recruiting class, and watched all spring long as they just put returning players in that starting lineup. There's not a chance in hell that's their starting lineup.
No.
Not a chance in hell. Somewhere, somehow, something is getting shaken up there. So that's kind of like my big under-the-radar buzz here is, and, you know, I interpret that as coaches trying to keep their roster intact, okay? Because what's the guy who just came in? He just transferred to you and signed an NIL, whatever, okay? Is he going to leave? No, he's going to come in and be like, okay, I just got to go earn my spot. But if the guy who's been there, right, loses his spot in the spring, he gone. He's gone. So, again, I think there's a lot of that going on. And I think that in terms of the Brian Kelly tenure and probably since the Miles tenure, because remember, Ed O was pretty forthcoming about letting people take a look at his team as well. I believe that they're hiding as much as they can about this team right now. Yeah, I think that that's going to be a big thing is, where was this guy during spring? Oh, he was there. He was practicing with the twos. You know what I mean? I think that the lineup will look a lot different. And I think not too many people are talking about that, but in my opinion, that's a huge deal.
Last one. Your Alec Box experience this weekend. You were there for the clincher.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Yeah, great seat. So we know you're making that big Tiger bait money. Impressive, considering you just had a child. So that means Preston is rolling in.
And another one on the way.
Yes, that means you are rolling in. But no, what was your experience like?
I'm just happy Scarborough pays me the medium bucks. You know what I mean?
Good.
Anyways. It was electric. I was pissed like everybody else was when they delayed it 3 hours for absolutely no reason. Absolutely no reason. But my stepdad is a West Virginia alum, along with about maybe half a dozen of his family. And we've done many events in West Virginia. I went to the 2011 football game and we had moonshine and we lit a couch on fire and merrily sang Country Roads and almost got in a fight with many people at that game because Preston, this is before Preston was a reporter, mind you. So Preston was just drunk, obnoxious LSU student at this point. And it was quite the experience. So for me, it was first off, the fact that that stadium was packed and full, 8 p.m. With 3 hour delay, man, that's unbelievable if you ask me. But it was great because got to see, you know, stepdad's team I grew up rooting for. It's my second team if I were to root for a team, by the way. Love me some West Virginia Mountaineers. But on game day, you know, hey, this is the best thing about not being a reporter for baseball. I don't have to be professional. I can, you know, cheer for my alma mater proudly, and that's what I did. We had a great time. The camera caught me actually chanting neck at my stepfather, if y'all know what I mean by neck. So my stepfather, after they went up 12-5, you literally see me doing the thing and telling them that. So awesome experience. Glad the Tigers are in Omaha. And look, hot take, I think the Tigers are in the best position to win a national championship, not necessarily to advance because you got Arkansas, who's the team to beat, but I like that you get to roll out Cade Anderson game one against Arkansas and for a chance to earn a competitive advantage over Arkansas down the stretch. Because if they come out of the loser's bracket, they're going to have an additional game and be less rested, right? So then you could roll out, ostensibly roll out, you know, I guess – Kaysen Evans, maybe for that game three and against their Johnny Holstaff. So I like where LSU's at.
I do. And knowing all the different Arkansas group chants from Power Hour SEC and just in high school.
That's your people.
I will say that all the pressure's on Arkansas. I mean, dude, the LSU, obviously there's pressure to win the College World Series. Yeah. Every year, but Jay Johnson's got one.
I just hope that reporter you beefed with is feeling sad after this one.
I have not checked in on him again. I've been blocked.
Nice.
I've been, you know. So when I went to Fayetteville earlier this year, I thought I saw him, but then again, I don't know if I saw him because I was freaking blitzed. Cause it was crazy, but yeah, that was a wild day, in my career. And I appreciate your help. A lot of people don't know from that beef. You're the first person I talked to, because you not only are in the media side, you actually have a degree in media and also an expertise in PR.
Well, right? Don't you have to, you have a journalism degree too?
I do as well, but I do not. This is more of a PR type of thing.
Yeah, it is kind of.
So you know.
So I worked in PR, but you know.
Right, but exactly. I'm not a PR person. It's gotten myself in trouble.
Let it rip, baby.
I reached out to you before I actually press send on the video, and And I really appreciate your friendship and your guidance. And I appreciate what you do, man. You're always fair with your LSU analysis. So make sure you go follow him. PGuy77. I highly recommend. We played a clip of it earlier, but go listen to the full interview he did with Elijah Haven. TigerBait.com, or you could just go to their YouTube channel. Preston, we'll talk soon, my brother.
Hey, it's free. All right. You touched on a hot take. Can I give you one real quick before I sign off?
Yeah.
And this, tell me if it's spicy enough. Harlan Berry will be your second leading offender, second most yards from scrimmage out of your running backs next year, right behind Caden Durham. And I think Harlan Berry is too good to keep off the field. I think he's going to get a lot of receiving yards. We'll see. I'm just worried about his pass blocking. Can he be your third down running back? I'm going to go ahead and put that one out there over Caleb Jackson, and if Trey Holly's back, over Trey Holly. That's my hot take. Is that spicy or mild?
So you're saying he will be the second best offensive weapon for Garrett?
Back, running back.
Oh, second best back. Okay.
Yeah, no. Look, those receivers are deep, deep, deep.
Okay. That's what you were saying at first. I think it just depends on your opinion of Caleb Jackson. I don't think it's a scorcher, but if you would have come on here and said Harlan Berry outproduces Caden Durham,
I don't see that happening. Caden Durham's more of your durable every down back. You know, he brings that just toughness that you really need. And I don't want to call him a scat back, but he's definitely more nimble in the Reggie Bush mold.
Let me give you an over under. All right.
Okay.
Harlan Berry, over under 400 rushing yards.
Over.
That's a big number. It doesn't seem like
it is a big number. But remember, I think we talked about this too, by the way. LSU actually hasn't produced a 750-yard rusher under Brian Kelly that wasn't named Jaden Daniels, so not from the running back spot. I think that's going to be a point of emphasis this year. I think they're going to try to do a lot to fix that. So, yes, over 400, and I understand that's a big number. But, you know, the thing is, most years, your second leading rusher, historically, 400 yards is not that big of an ask. It's just been in recent years. So, yeah, and I think he does go over 600 yards from scrimmage because I think he's going to catch the ball a lot.
So you're giving him a good, solid Preston Guy year one grade.
That's my hot take. And look, if y'all know me, I'm very level-headed with a lot of – I don't like the bold go out there and do this. So, for me, saying 600 yards for a true freshman back, that's a lot. That's a lot to commit
to. But you do your own evaluations. You watch and you interview and you talk to the coaches. So there you go, man. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Carter.
Preston Guy. I love it. Top five favorite guest here. Let's see. I will be on AYS at 7:30, but we can take a few more before we go on there. I better show up for my spot with Blake every week. I'm also showing my guy Blake some love. Edward O., good to see you. Yeah, Arkansas is all the pressure. Curry LSU. I like that name. Arkansas's got all the pressure. Okay, so here's the thing about the pressure of Arkansas. Okay. They have not won a national championship in something somebody actually cares about since 94. All right. And that was when Nolan Richardson, who's still alive, even though Stephen A. Smith said otherwise. Nolan is still alive. I've met Nolan. One of the nicest guys, legends of the sport. Best Nolan Richardson story is the one he told at the Hall of Fame about Larry Bird. Just Google it afterwards. It's the funniest sports story I've ever heard. Nolan Richardson beat Coach K in 94, and that was Arkansas's last national championship in something someone cares about. 2018, they dropped a pop fly that cost them the College World Series. About the most cruel way you can lose it. So not only does Arkansas need to win a baseball one under Dave Van Horn, they just need to win something. They're the one SEC school outside of Texas A&M that's just basically not won anything. And what, five different SEC schools have won the last five natties or four, whatever? Tennessee last year, LSU the year before, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and someone else before that. Going to be wild. Also, what's crazy before we get out of here, I don't have the biggest audience. I'm never going to claim that I do. It is interesting, though, how many hate messages I've still gotten over my gray uniform take. All right. I never thought that, like, it's always like this in YouTube. The videos you spend the most time doing, what you think your best work actually is, never gets the views. It's the takes that you give that you think are just meaningless, innocuous. What I said about Caitlin Clark a few years ago, thought it was innocuous. No, got called a hater. I still don't know why to this day. I won't share that take again because people go nuts over it. I did not think the gray uniform take was that crazy. So then I got a bunch of messages. Well, yeah, I bet you hate the gray uniforms now because we clinched versus West Virginia in the gray uniforms. Here's the problem with the gray uniforms is that LSU has three different other uniform combinations that every single one of you would objectively say is better than the gray uniforms. The gold, the purple, and the pinstripes. All right. Now we'll say, I think Mikey Matuk called out my gray uniform take. He actually wore the uniforms for LSU. So I'll defer to him. And I understand the history of the gray baseball uniforms. I understand. But it's just that I like the other three uniforms and every other baseball uniform combination ever. Way better. I saw this crazy catch by this outfielder for the Oakland Athletics, Denzel Ward, wearing a gray uniform. Could you imagine if he was wearing the old school Dennis Eckersley, freaking Ricky Henderson, gold top, green bottom, retro vintage look? It would have 50 million views instead of 25 million. But yes, it is interesting that LSU and Arkansas are by far the national championship favorites to win the College World Series. Okay. I think that is absolutely insane to me that those two teams are still the favorites, even though they play each other in the first round. That shows you two things. Number one, that they are viewed as that much better than the rest of the field. But also, number two, both those fan bases are betting the most. Okay? Take a few more here. Mick, what's good, bro? Good to see you. I think we have a Jordan Haddad in the chat. I am very excited about Harlan Berry. I really am. I really, really, really am. It is interesting how many times he gets compared to Reggie Bush in the chat, okay? Bullfrog, I don't know how old you are. Reggie Bush is the best college running back since 2000. He is the best. Who's second? I don't know. Argue amongst yourselves. If Harlan Berry is Reggie Bush, LSU will likely win a national championship with him here. Or at least make the college football playoff. That's how good Reggie Bush was. Reggie Bush was so unfreaking believably good at football. And he was by far the best college football player when he was playing. And Vince Young was playing at the same time. Reggie Bush was that freaking good. And I don't know if I've seen anybody like Reggie since Reggie. I mean, obviously Christian McCaffrey kind of reminded me of Reggie, but you know, Reggie just had it pounce, man. God bless. And, you know, it was USC, the aura. It was everything. And USC was really big at that time because that was kind of the post Kobe Shaq-ish era. So LA needed that star. God, dude, Reggie. Dude was unreal. So if Harlan Berry is that good, but man, Reggie was that guy. I think like that's why so many people I think liked Tyrann Mathieu, because Tyrann Mathieu is probably like the closest thing that we've had to like Reggie Bush, but it was on the defensive side of the football. I felt when I watched Tyrann highlights, I feel like I'm watching Reggie highlights and vice versa. Those dudes were doing things on the football field that other people just simply physically cannot do. Some of it is just athleticism, but a lot of it is just talent and creativity. It's crazy. I still remember versus Fresno State when Reggie Bush did that stupid behind the back move and it worked. It freaking worked. I still haven't seen a running back do that. It seems so simple, but it's ridiculous what that guy did. It was that much fun. It really was. Yeah, that was probably the most interesting thing from the Preston Guy interview, if I'm being honest. That so many athletes want to be two ways. Like, it's not only in terms of, like, playing both sides of the football. There are so many athletes out there that want to play basketball and football. So, you know, big mistake on my part, and it was in our text conversation earlier today with Preston. I think it was a typo on my end or his end or whatever. I thought he had said that Ahmad Hudson was there the weekend. I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay. So he might not have been. I'm sorry. A lot of people are going to be confused at the beginning. But I think it was my fault. But Ahmad Hudson is a tight end prospect I'm really high on at Ruston 2027. He wants to play football and basketball wherever he goes. He's been very public about that. So, you know, Travis Hunter is just opened a lot of eyes for a lot of guys. Is it easier to play both ways as a wide receiver DB than it would be OLDL? I would say it is. I'm not saying what Travis Hunter has done is just easier. I do think OL and DL, that's just so hard. It is so hard to do. Obviously, in high school, you could do it, but Kevin, I just hit the laugh. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. I will be live with Blake Ruffino here in about 10 minutes. So go on over to AYS. And big shout out to our top super chatter, Alexander. Tomorrow, for a straight hour, I am answering every single hot take. We answered some, but tonight I'm going to go through with very detailed answers. I've already started doing some of this on Twitter. Okay. Also, tomorrow night. Actually, I say tomorrow night. Sunday. I've already finished it. I try not to overload my patrons with all these different studies because they are so deep. They're always around 10 to 15 minutes in length. It is rare that I see something that moved me as much as this one chart, analytical chart, moved me. And it really changed my view on next year's LSU's offensive line. And a lot of our patrons know this. I've been spending most of my time on LSU offensive line studies. Okay, because it is a bizarre situation that we are in at that very crucial position. So on Sunday, I found a chart that I think perfectly explain why the LSU offense and offensive line sputtered. That'll be our next deep dive. That'll be coming out on Sunday. Link is down below for the patronage. Shout out to Fast Draft Fantasy. Please go sign up using my promo code Carter. And once again, Zion Imaging, XYANImaging.com. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Tonight, we're doing eggs and bacon. Let's go.